Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. I've had an absolute blast recording your championship intros on audio and also on video. And for those of you that didn't know, the videos can be done special exactly the way you like them, because these are green screens and we can do them with a scene behind me. Do you want a fighting scene? Do you want a beach scene? Do you want a race car scene? Any scene you want, we can give it to you. It's your theme and my pleasure. Just write our offices and we will answer you with the exact fee involved and how it'll get done. So here we are, and now it's time, and it's your choice. Cheers!
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of wherever the UFC is coming in 2023. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. We've been talking about it all year long. This is the last show of the year. It's No Holds Barred Radio, folks. And to make sure that you know that, to make sure that you hear that, to make sure that you realize that, we've got TJ DeSantis, my co-host and producer on the show. And we've got the ever funny, ever outspoken, punch a hole through his chest man of the year, coach of the year.
Oh, man.
And a warrior in his own right, Ray Lobo.
Oh, man.
Ray. Hi, Ray.
Rose, you're killing me.
Ah.
I got to send you a bottle of champagne for New Year's now.
That's fine. Just don't send me a bottle of Puncher's Chance. I got a couple cases in the
air. There you go. There you go.
Wait, hold on, Bruce. Has that happened to you yet? Have you gotten Punch's Chance as a gift from anybody?
No, not at all. I certainly have a lot of people ask me for it as a gift.
Oh, that's good.
If you happen to follow me on Instagram, I did a holiday drink on, it was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, where I came up with the drink, because we just came out with our new 14-year reserve, right? Now, Ray,
is this the third incarnation? Don't you have a 12-year as well?
We have the standard Puncher's Chance,
right?
We have, you know, right here, the standard Puncher's Chance,
right?
I could go grab a bottle of the 14-year, but I'll be off camera for 2 minutes.
No, you don't need to do it. You don't need to do that.
The 12-year reserve. We have the barrel version, which actually comes out of barrels. It's 116 proof. And wow. We have a 14-year reserve that just came out. It's called the Left Cross, Ray. And it's got the Jamaican colors on it. Now,
wow.
A little bit of trivia here, Ray. A little bit of trivia. What Jamaica it's basically a Left Cross. So you wonder, why do we call it Left Cross? Why is Jamaica? Well, it's made in Jamaican rum barrels. That's how it's aged and the whole process. And do you remember the name of the very well-known Jamaican heavyweight fighter that was the first one to put Mike Tyson down with the Left Cross?
Wait, hold on a second.
Come on, I'm going to get you on this one, right?
Jamaican heavyweight. Oh, that has to be...
Was it Buster Douglas?
Lennox Lewis?
No, Lennox Lewis is English. Razor Ruddock.
Oh.
Razor Ruddock. I would have eventually gotten there.
Okay, so that's why it's called the Left Cross, okay? And it's an honor of that, but at the same time, again, because it's made in the Jamaican rum barrels, we have had so many rave reviews over this, and I could only, my distillery in Kentucky could only make 2,000 cases, and they're gone. You know, they're out there to be purchased. You can go to puncherschancebourbon.com. You can buy it while it's available there. I got one case of six bottles, which I have to have last the rest of my life. So I'm going.
Oh man!
I gave one to my brother, one here for drinking, and the rest will stay in for when special occasions occur.
Wow,
that's unbelievable.
That's huge.
Yeah. And it sells for like 160 or more bottles.
And that's the thing too. Like, you're not just like tooting your own horn here, Buff. Like, there are rave reviews online from people that are, you know, highbrow bourbon drinkers, and they're raving about it.
They're raving about it. They're raving about it, along with the fact that the Bourbon Spectator called Puncher's Chance itself as the top five best sipping bourbon in America at its price range. So quite proud of that. And, you know, as far as, you know, you want to talk achievements, we all have achievements that we've done for 2022 and looking forward to bigger achievements in 2023. Going to come out with another Puncher's Chance in 2023. I'm told by my partners and my distillery, it's going to focus around me and my brand. So I'm going to put a little extra.
Little oomph Puncher's in it.
Wow.
Huh?
I gotta get with Bruce, man. This guy knows how to market, man. That's crazy.
Hey, that's my middle name.
I'll tell you what, it's awesome. I gotta get going with a couple of things. I'm getting too old. I can't keep working. I need passive income, Bruce.
There you go. Well, you know what? That's the key. Develop your base. Teach everybody. Develop your base. Build your revenue streams out of your base, whatever the base of your brand is. And we know what your base is. You know, that's how you do it. Don't go try to reinvent the wheel and always creating something new. Build it out of your base and the fan base that you have. So we can go into more. I'll give more motivational business talk next year. Let's talk about this year.
Yeah.
First off, I hope you guys had a wonderful holidays. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas.
Great Christmas.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was special for me because of the COVID scare. I wasn't able to spend Thanksgiving with my little mama, but I was able to be with her on Christmas. And it was a wonderful time with all of us together.
Did she get COVID or she avoided altogether?
Would you believe she was with her caregiver probably for at least a 24-hour period before she realized that she tested positive for COVID. And then she put on the mask and my mom did not get it.
Wow. That's great.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Isn't that crazy how this disease, this virus is nuts?
Some people get it and some people don't. And the craziest thing about it is, I mean, we're still talking about it, you know, almost 3 years after it hit us. But like when you get COVID, it's like 50-50 on whether or not it's going to be real bad. Because other people have COVID, they don't even know, you know, and then others are going to the hospital.
See, that's why I think my guess would be that his mother already had it, mild case, had some antibodies, and that's
right.
Why
she had it, but she had it like a year and a half ago, right?
Right. That, yeah, but your body, I still believe in, I don't know, I'm a big believer in that natural immunity. I don't think you could beat it, and it's like anything. You know? Right.
Well, you know, you talk about the natural immunity. One of the things that comes out is because of the whole mass period that we had, that a lot of the children's immunity systems didn't become strong as a result of that.
Well, let me tell you, you know, as a parent, every time my son has started at a new school or went to daycare when he was younger, he would always get sick and we would get sick way worse than him.
Yeah.
Kids are going to get sick in any environment when they're there the first time. And they just respond so well to it where adults, I mean, I'm down for the count.
Yeah.
Lucky, you know, it's luck of the draw, luck of the Irish, luck of everything. Speaking of luck of the Irish, Mega Millions jackpot again, it's up to $640 million.
Dude.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Potential billionaire that's going to make it. Got, you know, all the best. Grab it.
What is the tax, you know, take on that? It's got to be 40% or something like that, right? 40-50%.
Never take 2 points right down the middle. 48-52% gone.
But I mean, dude, it doesn't matter. You're still getting like $300 million.
You know what you do? You take that 640, you give 50 million over here to somebody, 50 million over there. You lighten the tax load a little bit. You get a less and you make your immediate loved ones and make sure they have everything possible in the world.
Right. You know? You try to buy Puncher's Chance from Bruce Buffer.
No, you start a charity foundation too. I mean, anybody that makes that kind of money and doesn't give back is very selfish. You've got to give back.
Well, it's more money than you can spend in a lifetime if you're a sensible human being. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to buy a $100 million house? No.
No, it's crazy. But speaking of money,
it depends on what you're spending, right? That the old saying, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And
right.
Yeah.
I think there's a show on like, I don't know, TLC or something where it's literally just horror stories of people that won the lottery and they can't handle having that much money and it just ruins them.
Yep. If you're not grounded, like anything, look, you see it with the fighters that aren't grounded. What's the difference? And they're not making 600 million, they're making 10-15 million. They can't even do the right thing,
right?
Yeah, you know, that's just, it's so standard true. We had Charles Barkley on our show many years ago, and I remember, never forget what the statement he made, something around the effect, give or take a few points here, that basically over 80% of NBA athletes, you know, or athletes in general, once they lose their money after a few years.
Yeah,
you know? That's crazy. I'll tell you, Charles Barkley, I love Charles Barkley. I think he's
great. Hey, really, Ray, it took me 2 years to get Charles to go to a UFC, right?
I mean, I see him in Vegas all the time, right? We gamble together the whole bit, and we're friends. And it's like, no, this, that, the other. Finally, he went to a show. The next day, he came in the gym. We were training. I was training, and I saw him in the gym in Vegas. And he's like, Buff, those are the most highly conditioned athletes in the world. That's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
He's smart, that guy. I'll tell you, he said something once, Bruce. You'll appreciate this. I don't know what the context was. But he was doing a Charlie Rose interview, and Charlie Rose asked him, he goes, what would be one thing that you would want people to know that you don't think they know? And what he said, I thought was dead on. He goes, look, I want you to know that there's a big difference between the number 12 guy on the bench and the number one guy. And there's a huge difference between that number 12, 11, 13, whatever, how many people they have. There's a huge difference between that number 12 guy and the guy that you think is great on the basketball courts in the neighborhood. So there's levels, like, you know, he's even seen him, you know, that, and that's like fighting. There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that, I thought what he said, this was 20 years ago. I thought it was unbelievable.
And that's the thing too. It's not the same in like every weight class. I think, you know, in a heavyweight, that's the sort of X factor, you know, a guy who is number 7 is pretty much, you know, on par with a guy who's number 20. You know what I mean? Right. Heavyweight has always been really kind of like four big names, three or four big names, and then it's everybody else.
Yeah, that's it.
Absolutely, absolutely. What are you doing for your New Year's, Ray?
I'm going to stay local. I went to Jersey for Christmas. So I'm done traveling. I really just want to take a couple of days and chill out. So I'll do that on New Year's Eve and New Year's.
Very cool. No, that's the way to do it. Enjoy, sit back, watch some football. Listen, if you're home on December 31st, right, and you're chilling out in the afternoon at 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock your time on the East Coast, 2 o'clock California time is the Fiesta Bowl, which is the, are you a football watcher? I forget, Ray.
No, I'm not really. I mean, I used to be, but not now. I don't want. Honestly, Bruce, I'm just down to MMA at this point.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And strangely enough, I go to MMA, but I don't watch MMA. I have enough MMA shows. I'll watch the shows I did because I want to re-see the fights and make sure I saw them in the same way.
Right, right.
And, of course, there's other specific shows when I'm not announcing. If I'm home, of course, I'm going to watch UFC. But on Friday the 31st, those of you watching on ESPN, I'm scheduled to announce the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, wow.
That's huge. That is, that's one of the college football playoff games, correct?
Yes, it's the final one to choose the championship team to play in the championship final game. So
yeah, it's one of the semifinals.
Bruce, if you're announcing, I'm watching.
Well, you have to turn it right at the beginning. If ESPN covers it, they'll cover it right at the beginning at 5 o'clock your time, East Coast time.
Perfect.
On Friday.
Beautiful.
So you can check it out. And again, not to watch me. I thought if you watch football, it's going to be a hell of a game for sure. So, you know, speaking of games, Epic Games released Fortnite, and we all know that Fortnite was the big thing played by all the kids and everything. It still is, but, you know, I don't have the details here, but Fortnite has agreed to pay $520 million, right?
For what?
Okay, I got it right here finally.
$500 million?
Games, they're going to pay $275 million penalty for violating children's privacy laws.
Ooh.
Where they change default privacy settings. And they're going to pay $245 million in refunds for tricking users into making unwanted charges, you know, because that's how they make the money. You
right. Yeah.
Buy new things. I mean, well, I remember Henry and Rupert playing this game, you know, there were credit card charges, you know, they added up.
Well, what's funny about it too, is you don't need any of that stuff. Like you don't get better in the game by buying any of that stuff. It's just all like aesthetics. It's like costumes and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And of course kids want everything. You know what I mean? I want everything.
Well, video games is actually a really fun thing. Henry is made it to the finals with one game left where they play this video game called Rocket something. It's cars.
Rocket League.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that's fun. It's like soccer with cars.
Exactly. So they have one more game, if not already played it, and he's about to or has won. I got to find out because Kristen and the family are in Hawaii on vacation.
Mm.
But he's going to win $5,000.
No kidding.
Yeah. And it's going to go to his college fund, of which I'm proud to say Henry is 17, about to be 18, as I'm sure you've all been through that with your kids or TJ you're going to at some point. Henry's been accepted to three universities. He's got a choice of three different universities.
What?
Wow. Nice. Beautiful.
University of Washington, Arizona, and another one up northern area.
Wow. That's cool. That's
an older guy giving you a tidbit information. Start that college fund tomorrow.
Man, we live in California. My kid's going to City College.
Well, I'm just saying, start the college fund tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what? The college fund they have is actually added up. But you know what?
Well, it's
you realize how much it has to add up to.
Yeah. No, the
it's
average
a lot of money.
The average state university is something like $45,000 a year.
It's crazy. No, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, like who's ready to pay $200,000? Like what degree gets you ready for $200,000 bill when you get out of college? Medical degree, law degree. That's
look,
it.
I had two kids, so you could double that.
How old are your kids?
27 and 26.
Where'd they go to school, Ray?
They both went to the University of Delaware.
Dang.
And one's a speech pathologist, one's an occupational therapist. They're doing good. Two girls.
Wow.
They're doing great.
What is it with fighters and trainers always having girls?
I don't know. I think I got to go with it's payback.
Have you noticed that, Bruce? Like all fighters and trainers, when they have kids, they're all girls.
That's something I haven't noticed. Honestly, I can't claim to fame on that one, saying that that's a fact. But you know, maybe it's just those tough genes create. Let's face it, women are tough. Girls are tough. I think they're a lot tougher than men in certain ways. So maybe that's the fighter's mentality. Ray, you shook your head. Yes, maybe you agree.
Yeah. They're definitely tougher for sure.
Well, I've actually heard there's a theory that men that are really active, their testosterone is lower, goes up and down with their physical activity. And, men decide, you know, what it's going to be, a boy or a girl with your seed, if you will. And the sort of theory is if you're very active, you make more female chromosome sperm than male.
Wow. That's the first I heard that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really? That's interesting.
I had a girlfriend that thought one testicle made boy sperm and the other testicle made girl sperm. That was an interesting conversation.
I had a comment on that.
That's what's known as a keeper.
Okay, so listen, guys, let's go over a couple things here. First off, I think, you know, a lot of us are looking forward to the new year on Friday. December 31st is Saturday. I don't know how Mr. Trump's looking forward to it. His tax returns are going to get released on Friday.
Oof. What do you think's going to happen with that?
Does it matter? Like, I hate to say it, but like, it's so far
But of course, the guy had the best attorneys to get him off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I'm saying, so the guy paid no taxes, or he's not as rich as we thought he was. But what is it besides that?
But that's the whole goal with your tax returns, right? Like, you try to make it look like you have no money.
Right.
So if we find out he didn't pay any taxes, like, I'm not going to be surprised.
I agree with you.
There's a great documentary called The Panama Papers.
Explain that one, TJ. Give me the Panama Papers. What was that about again?
Yeah, so it's about basically the 1% hiding their money in offshore accounts and not having to pay any tax on it. And I think it was the president of Iceland, I think, was the only one that was ever really charged with, because it's illegal. You're ducking taxes. And the president of Iceland like went to jail for it, but there's rumors that, you know, every elite guy here in the States that's a billionaires is doing the same thing, where they pay next to no taxes when you consider how much money they actually make.
Huh.
I think it has something to do with a bank in Panama.
I'm so
AJ, he's dropping a lot of knowledge today.
Yeah, it's a lot of knowledge that actually that we, Ray, did you get that, all that?
I mean,
that we can't really do our due diligence.
No, just go watch the movie. Go watch the movie. It's available now on Hulu. It's a good movie.
Nice. What's the name of it?
The Panama Papers.
We'll take it. I'm on it.
You gotta check that out.
You should. You can hide your money off offshore, Buff.
Very cool. Okay, listen, let's go
not
to something
cool.
Here.
It's illegal.
when I say very cool, that's their problem, not my problem.
I hear you.
You know, that's all I can look at it as. You know, at the end of the year, there's so many things that happen at the end of the year. I didn't mean to brush it off, TJ. I can only comment. So
it's fine. It's fine, Bruce. You know, this is one of those times where, like, it's the last week of the year. You know what I mean? There's not a ton going on. We're kind of looking back and looking forward. This is my favorite week of the year, by the way.
And why is that?
Because you just kind of relax a little bit. I mean, yeah, you're still working. You're moving strong forward in the new year. Finish strong to start strong. But, you know, you just kind of step back a little bit.
Crazy. You know, it is a year. You want to relax. I always say end the year strong, start the year strong. I mean, I work all the way through. Ray, I'm sure you do to a certain extent. Are you training, right? There's still people training at your gym and everything.
I mean, I can hear the bell right now.
I want to introduce you to somebody. Right, this is the next big thing coming out of the gym. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. He's a big guy, this guy.
Man, look at that beard. I like that beard.
Holy
shit. Thank you.
How are you, brother? Look forward to announcing your name. Ray, give us a name.
He's from Senegal. What's your name? Czech?
Yeah, Czech.
You had to ask him his name, Ray. You said he's the next big thing. You're asking him his name.
You know what? Ray didn't want to butcher it, so he had him say it.
We call him Czech because of Czech Congo, but I think his name really is Czech.
Okay.
Because he's huge. He's a killer.
Get him straight. Get him the nickname. Get him ready to rock and roll when it comes in the octagon.
He's ready to go. You'll be hearing about this guy in the next couple of years.
All right, we're making a note. Let's have his full name for the records here. Come on.
Full name. What's your full name?
Czech.
All right, go ahead, Bruce. You make heads or tails out of
it. Say it again.
G-I-K-H.
So what's your last name?
G-U-E-Y-E.
G-U-E-Y-G-U-E-Y-E.
Yeah, G-U-E-Y-E.
So say your name fully, so I like the way you want it said. Say your name the way you would like it said.
Czech Gay.
Czech Gay?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So his nickname is Checkmate, right?
Yeah, good.
So go ahead, Wait, Bruce, give him an announcement, Bruce. Let's see.
I'm not clear on the last name. I got the first name, Check. The last name, I'm not clear.
Gee.
Yeah,
good. G-U-E-Y-E. Gee?
Check Gee.
G-U-E-Y-E.
Presenting, making his debut in the octagon.
Yeah, so I'm talking about Check. You made the guy's name, Bruce. My man.
Invoices in the mail, Ray.
Yeah. Come on, guy's the best.
Hey, PayPal. I'll send you my PayPal.
Person, this guy.
Well, if he's coming to the octagon, let's talk a little bit about the best fights of 2022. I'm going to go down. I'm not saying that I'm correct, but let me just give you the five that come into my mind, okay?
Let's go. Do it.
I got to go with Yuri Prochazka against Glover Teixeira.
Yeah.
That fight was amazing.
Yeah, okay. It's also just unfortunate that we didn't get that sequel. You know, to end the year, but
very unfortunate.
Well, what else we got? God, that's a great fight.
That's a great fight. Stephen Thompson, Kevin Holland, without a doubt.
Oh yeah, great fight.
Career
defining fight too, real quick. You know, I think Wonderboy has a phenomenal legacy, but when you go back with his greatest hits, it's amazing that, you know, his most recent fight is one of the best, if not his best, UFC. Performance. The guy's been in the UFC for a decade, and to be at that level and still perform that way says a lot.
Without a doubt. Hey, against the guy they were fast tracking too, right?
Right. Yeah. 100%. I believe we had Wonderboy on a couple weeks ago, and he's only been an underdog in two UFC fights, and he was an underdog against Kevin Holland.
That's it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We talked about that. I mean, he was the underdog. It's amazing. We had that in his interview we did with him. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. He was an underdog in the Holland fight, and then the only other time he was a dog was against Gilbert Burns.
the other fight I liked, too, was Gamrod against Zarouki, and I thought it was a fantastic fight.
That, but, you know, also, too, let's go to Hamzat and Gilbert Burns.
Gilbert Burns. I think Chandler against Gaethje is a fight you can't forget.
Was that last
Chandler
year, though?
Against Poirier is also in the first round, you can't forget.
Yeah, yeah.
Chandler against anybody.
Chandler
against
anybody. Against
anybody. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, could that have been more than a year ago?
I think Chandler and Gaethje was at Madison Square Garden last year, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. See, that's my problem. With so many UFCs every week, I don't remember, you know, where we begin and end, you know?
Right. That's crazy.
I know, it's amazing. You know, how about Sean O'Malley and Petr Yan?
Oh, that was a great fight. Great fight.
Really good fight.
Hey, real quick, on the bantamweight tip, you got Chito Vera taking on Corey Sandhagen. It's a fight in the Apex. Ray, I want your thoughts on this, because Sean O'Malley said that Sandhagen is at a disadvantage fighting in that 25-foot octagon rather than the 30-foot octagon. Do you feel that is true? Because I've heard a lot of athletes say that the smaller octagon, if they're, you know, an athlete who likes to use a lot of footwork, that it's more difficult in that cage.
Well, I mean, look, it would make common sense if you like footwork. If that's your thing, the bigger the octagon, the better. But I don't think it's that much smaller where it should throw you off.
Yeah, it's 5 feet.
Much, you know what I mean? But that's me, and I'm not fighting, so I'll leave that up to them. But I don't think, but again, if I had a guy like Marab, you know, I want him in the smallest octagon so he could hunt him down. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So there might be a little advantage, disadvantage, but for the most part, I don't know. I mean, if it was that much of a disadvantage, if I'm Sandhagen, I'd hold off and fight in another arena. That's not a big problem.
Yeah. And that's a fight that's big enough in my eyes to be on a pay-per-view if you don't want
without
it.
Without a doubt. So. Without it, that's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, 100%. Do you notice the octagon being smaller, Bruce? Do you notice in the Apex? Do you notice the octagon being smaller?
Yeah, no, it's they have the 30. I think the octagon is 33 feet by 33 feet normally, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah.
But the apex is the smaller octagon. It's not the big octagon.
Yeah, but
are you feeling a huge difference when you're in there?
A little bit, because of the ground I cover going from one fighter to the other, or, you know, when I'm doing my thing. Luckily, here's the big thing about the octagon is that, unlike boxing, you know, when you're announcing in a boxing ring, everybody and their mother and cousin is in that ring.
Seriously. Right? It's crazy. Seriously. When you watch boxing, it's like a family reunion.
And people, and many of them, you know, they love to get the TV time. You can see people trying to work themselves into position.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky, and I believe the fighters are so lucky, to have just a couple of commission guys, the referee and me, in the octagon, right? I think it's very distracting to have all those bodies in a ring.
Yeah.
Versus the very few that we have in the octagon.
I mean, I've called boxing events, Bruce, and like, I just, coming from MMA, everything that goes on with boxing, from the weigh-ins to the ring announcements, like, it's just, it's more complicated than it needs to be. You know, MMA has sort of streamlined all of that stuff, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. Well, you know why, TJ, too, when you're doing something every freaking week,
right,
you get that shit locked down pretty easily. You know what I mean? If you were doing it once every 2 or 3 months,
sure,
you know, it's hard to get in that groove where, but that, look, Dana, even when Bert was there, man, that shit was really run to a T.
I mean, you're walking at the minute mark they give you. Like, you're going on a 7-Eleven. You're walking at 7-Eleven.
But back in the day, it was a little different. I had a couple of guys fight what they used to call swing bouts.
Right. So the post limb you go on in the after the main event.
If you had time, you get in before the main event. If not, you go after the main event. That's a little weird because you never know if you go. And then they just did away with that completely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, how do you warm up? Do you know what I mean? Like, your neck. So, like, do you get a good sweat and cool down? Yeah.
It's a problem.
You know, the hardest warm up ever, though, the hardest warm up for any fighter ever is in the old days when they fought 2 and 3 times a night.
Yeah.
And they didn't know when they're going to come out. When do I warm up? Who do I warm up with? What's going on?
Those guys should be given more credit because they really pioneered this thing to where it is. And I think we have a real tendency to forget about guys now. You know what I mean? Like, I think when I was in Abu Dhabi, I think Mark Coleman walked into the room. I don't even know if anybody knew who he was. Like, it's insane. Like, I've been there forever, so obviously it's different. But, the guy made his mark on the UFC. There's no question about it.
No question. It was, no matter how you cut it, back then it was blood sport.
It was different.
It was a spectacle. It went from a spectacle to a sport.
100%.
Now what? The fifth most watched sport in America.
Yeah.
Just growing leaps and bounds. Now the UFC said they're going to raise their pay-per-view prices again. Whether it's a few bucks or whatever. Did you read about that?
Yeah. Is it the UFC's call or is it ESPN's?
That's an interesting question. I do not know.
I don't know.
ESPN's paid, you know, $1.5 billion or more dollars for those pay-per-view
or
rights.
Is it WME who needs money?
Well, that's UFC because they own UFC.
I'm saying,
but they could, you know, it's a subsidiary, I guess, right? It's considered, but they still could try to, if they have you have a cash cow, you just keep draining that cash cow. No? Like if I have a company and I got five different profit centers, I'm going to try to take from my biggest profit center to, you know, make up for all the other.
Right. Yeah. You rob Peter to pay Paul or whatever.
Right. I don't know. I don't think it's ESPN's call.
Well, all I know is that $1, $2, $3, $4 is a lot of money.
It's already up at a high number now.
Yeah. But at the same time, too, you know, I'm going to say it again. Everybody says, well, the fighters make this, the fighters make that. The fighters make, Ray, listen, I'm going to ask you before I say anything.
Yeah.
You know every organization in MMA.
Yes.
Are the fighters making good money in UFC?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. And especially,
I'm going to say, because, you know, like even when Matt was fighting, I'll never forget, he would go, do you think it's fair? Like Dana maybe would give him a check. And I would say, I think it's fair. I don't think it's right. I mean, and what I mean by that is I think they're all making good money. My guys are all doing good. They own multiple houses. They're doing great.
Right.
So they had to fight for that money for sure. But that doesn't make it right either. If every other sport is getting 30% of the bottom line and you're getting 10%,
yeah, but
I think that's where the problem comes in. But I think these guys for where they were, and, you know, they didn't, not that they had other revenues to make money. I think my guys are doing good, but you'd have to ask them. But I think they all, Weidman did great. Matt did good. You know, Aljo, Marab, they're all doing great.
Let me add this into the mix. Sorry, TJ, the mix just said. 30% of the bottom line. You're referring to boxing, right?
I don't know what I'm referring to. Whatever I heard, maybe.
Because 30% of the bottom NFL. Line
yeah,
is.
Let me jump in because, like, you're talking about, like, collective bargaining agreements in, like, baseball. I think it's something like 40 or 50% goes back to the players.
Right.
You know, I get that. And I think, you know, mixed martial arts is, you know, much harder sport on the body. You have a limited window, et cetera. You know, your health can be compromised later in life, things like that. But the bottom line is, I don't know if it's fair to compare baseball or stick and ball sports to MMA because there are teams and that drives up the price. And you know, there are other factors. I mean, you can say that, you know, there are different organizations, you know, that's sort of like teams, but the bottom line is, like, I've called a lot of fights between guys that were making, you know, 1,000 and 1,000,
right?
And they're crazy fights, and then they have a rematch with that same guy where they're making 20,000 in the UFC. So the disparity of fighting outside the UFC and inside the UFC is night and day.
Story. Yeah, night and day.
Yeah,
totally night and day. But I mean,
there's
just
another.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's another variable here, guys, and I'm going to compare it to boxing. Okay.
Mm.
Bob Arum's offices, Oscar De La Hoya, you know, top rank Golden Boy offices, however many employees have. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, that they're running their businesses, but let's say they've got 20 employees, 30 employees, maybe not even that many. UFC has over 500 employees in the Vegas location, offices in China, offices elsewhere, everything they're doing, the amount of money that goes in. I don't see anybody promote fighting sports the way UFC promotes it, and their media advertising, the amount of money going out,
and boxing is trying to rip off the UFC
in that way. But getting back to my point here is just it takes a large amount of money to run this organization, a large amount of money. And granted, they're making money, and you know what? They should. And it's still, when you look at MMA, and you know, I remember back in the day when Rampage Jackson was fighting for probably a few thousand dollars in King of the Cage, where he came back to UFC some 10 whatever plus years ago and made what I've heard reported to be, even by himself, is, you know, over $10 million during his coming back or whatever. I mean, they don't make this kind of money in the sport.
And that's the thing too. Like, I think Dana's talked about it as well. Like, you have a fighting career, but for a lot of people, it's not really, you know, a career. Like, it's hard to make it that, you know, only a handful of guys are going to turn it into something where they make millions of dollars. And, you know, that's what you're fighting for. And I think everybody knows what they're getting into at this point when they want to be a mixed martial artist. You know, they're trying to be, you know, that 1-3% and, you know, fight for it. Hey, go take it.
Yeah, that's it. But and to defend Dana, I mean, I do promote local shows. And I tell you, it's a microcosm of what he's doing, but to put up with some of these guys that he has put up with has got to be insane, Bruce. Insanity. Well, like I've had guys, you know, I could sell 1,000 tickets. You know how many tickets the guy sells? 4.
Right.
Not even 90 70. He sells 4 out of 1,000. Like, this is what you got to deal with. Well, so everybody thinks they're worth more than they should be. So it's a weird dynamic, right? But I do think if you have a bottom line that's so fruitful like they have, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to just, you know, make a couple of more people happy.
Well, they're making a lot of people happy.
Yes, they are.
You know, that's all I can say. And
No, it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. And like I said, I don't want to speak for my guys, but my observation, they all did great. Better than they could have did anywhere else.
And that's the thing too, Ray. A lot of it comes down to like what you do with it, because I've heard of so many athletes getting, you know, large windfalls of money, and they don't pay their taxes 1 year, and then it's trying to catch up. And
well, that's them running their own lives. They got to run their own lives properly,
right?
Yeah.
And that's something you don't screw around with. Going to give you another fight of the year, Ciryl Gane against Tui Tuivasa.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's up there for sure. Let's go into the fighters of the year. I'm going to give you my views on the top five. Put them in any order you want. Okay.
All right. Let's hear him.
Alexander Volkanovski.
Oh, for sure.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Not only has he had great performances, but he has, you know, sort of shined in a way that he hadn't before. You know, he's a guy that is resonating with fans because he's kind of found that niche. He's found his voice.
Right. Alex Pereira.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Islam Makhachev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are no brainers. Yeah.
Zhang Weili.
Zhang Weili for sure.
Leon Edwards.
Ooh,
man, it's so crazy because that fight is just so different, you know. 4.5 rounds, it was all Usman.
Yeah, but he made a shine and he came back. Ray, you're gonna like this one. Aljamain Sterling.
Without a doubt. I'll tell you why. Only to overcome that first obstacle that was a disaster.
Yeah.
You got to give that kid a lot of credit, man. He came back and rattled off 2 wins against 2 really good guys when everybody had him counted out. So
go ahead, Ray. Yeah, sorry.
So I think what he did is, because I was there, was way harder than what people think or could even imagine. That was a heavy burden that poor kid carried on his shoulder for a year before he got to redeem himself. It's not like, again, we always say this, it ain't like baseball where you have a bad day, you go back, you hit a home run the next day. You got to wait a year.
Yeah.
Getting tortured by millions of people. Tortured.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, about Aljo. You know, I was talking about with Volkanovski. I think Aljamain had just as impressive of a year outside of the octagon in the way that he's conducted himself and handled himself in interviews and has really sort of found his own voice and isn't afraid to say things that he wants.
Without a doubt. And if you listen to him, he always has a good point. It's different.
Right.
But it's good. It's actually good. And he's a... Like I always said this, I think people get the wrong impression, Aljo. He's a fucking great dude. I mean, the way he helps his teammates out, the way he conducts himself with his family. I'm telling you, really good guy. Like, really, really good guy. Purposely trying to make a difference, too. It's not like he's just that guy. I mean, I think he's really grateful. Same with Marab. They're just grateful for what they have.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's as grateful as Marab because he's on another level, but you could see these guys just having a freaking great time.
Marab looks like he's having more fun than anybody else in the UFC ever.
Unbelievable. The guy just, you know, they've really become like co-captains of this team. I mean, they really, people follow them. They trust what they say. They're always helping somebody. Marab's in here yesterday. Everybody loves to see him. It's nuts. You know, it's good. So I agree with you on that. For different reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
That's one thing, too. You're kind of going back to what you were talking about with local promoting, Ray. It's interesting the attitude that certain fighters have now, because, you know, I remember calling fights at Tachi Palace, where the old WEC was, with the best 125 pounders in the planet. And they're fighting, you know, in a Native American reservation in the parking lot. Right. And, you know, just begging for eyeballs. And then I've interviewed some athletes that are making their pro debut and they don't want to talk to you. And it's just like, crazy.
Listen, but the way you got to handle that is, hey, dude, if you think you're going to get away with that,
right,
once you hit the big show, you better get used to it now.
Right.
That drives me. No, I see it with the guys in here. Everybody wants, you know, it's that old saying, it takes 20 years to become an overnight sensation.
Right.
So they don't look at what Weidman did to get there. They look at what he's got now, and they want it immediately. Now, this new generation is hard. It's just in life, I think it's horrible.
Well, also the come up is different too, right? Like, you can get on the Contender Series at 6-0 and haven't really fought a lot of people. You know what I mean? Right. And there used to be fights where, I mean, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago, some of the best fights that happened were when these guys were coming up to get to the UFC. You know, I remember it's probably like 20 years ago now, but like that old IFC tournament, it was a one night tournament in 2003 or 2004. Babalu won it. Jeremy Horn was in it. Forrest Griffin was in it. Chael Sonnen was in it. Tournament. And like, that was one of the better events. And, you know, people don't even know that. By the way, we should talk about it. Sorry to change the.
Well,
the
I want to get one more fighter. One more fighter.
Okay.
Marlon Chito Vera.
For sure.
There we go. So go ahead, TJ.
We should acknowledge the passing of Stefan Bonner.
I was
really hard
to that. Yeah. I'm just going to go into that. If I may start that.
Yes.
As always, my sincere condolences and best wishes go out to the family and loved ones of Stefan Bonner. A friend, a warrior, responsible along with Forrest Griffin, is the fight that changed the world of the UFC. That night at the Ultimate Fighter season one finale, when we had a 5 share and we went up to like a 12 to 15 share with that final fight happening. The truth of the matter is that with thanks to Stefan Bonner and Forrest and their performance, along with everything else the UFC put in, but we made Spike and Spike made the UFC at that point.
Yes.
And if you watch that fight, when Dana awarded Stefan Bonner his 6-figure contract, I lost complete control of myself, jumping up like a kid. I was so happy for Stefan Bonner. And the times, on a personal note, that I had to spend with this gentleman, who was a gentleman, truly to everybody around him, the people I've seen him interact with and stuff, just a fun-loving, good guy. He got into surfing when I pushed him into surfing. I can remember so many times, so many good times with this fine man. It just, I got to tell you, man, I always get, We all have our reaction at the passing of people that are closer or that we know, but that was very, very painful.
Yeah.
That day when that came out, did it ever come out, his cause of death?
No, I haven't heard it yet. I saw him on one of the MMA podcasts like a year ago, and he wasn't doing well. You could tell he wasn't doing well.
Say he wasn't doing well, what do you mean?
He had, I think, some sort of back injury. And he was having a hard time getting pain medication and working through it, because he was doing some pro wrestling. And it just, you could tell he was not in a good place. I don't know. I can't speculate. I don't want to speculate. That'd be irresponsible. But, he definitely had some tough times with injuries and his health the last couple of years.
No, I agree with TJ. I think TJ is spot on with that. Look, he was always a gentleman to me. Anytime I seen him, I never had a bad interaction. So I agree 100% with Bruce. He was just a good guy, and we lost a lot of good guys this year that were just way too young. I mean, Elias and Johnson, man, look how young those guys were.
That's insane.
But Bonner, I think, probably was struggling towards the end. I'm going to agree with TJ. Just the fact that he hooked up with that Joshua Fabia. And that time he got into it's not a good sign. It just isn't, you know, that's a class act.
Do you think I saw somebody make an OxyContin comment, you know, which I'm not going to comment on as being a case, but do you think, or do you have any knowledge that there was a painkiller issue here?
Again, like, it's irresponsible to speculate, but he was talking about how the pharmacy would not fill his prescriptions. You know, it, it's interesting that he was talking about that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
and he did have a public, that was a public fight, right? He was on tape screaming at the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could see that that wasn't screaming by a guy that was grounded at that point, right?
No,
that guy was hurt. He was screaming for fucking help, man, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
And you know, when you get, like, you know, paper pushes, they just don't have the flexibility to make the right call. You know what I mean? It's like, those guys always bother me. Like, you gotta have a degree of flexibility when you're dealing with people. It's like, I walk into a bar and the guy proofs me and I forgot my wallet. And that guy should have a common sense to let me in. Like,
you know,
I'm over fucking 21. Like, but some guys can't do it.
Yeah.
They just can't do it. Yeah. You gotta have your life.
And that's the thing too about painkillers. Like, I hate to say this, but doctors, they want to treat pain and they don't really want to, like, fix it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, a lot of doctors don't say you need to go to physical therapy. They just write that prescription, and then all of a sudden, guys can't live without it.
Right. That's the problem. Listen, those opioids, they fucked that whole thing up. There's no question about it. If you were a good guy who had an addictive personality, who didn't know it,
right,
and you got hurt and you just wanted help with the pain, you're screwed.
Yep.
I think if you're not addictive, you don't have that personality, you know, you end up throwing the shit out and going, I'll do it for a day. But that takes self-control. And you don't have that addictive personality. And that's really, I feel bad for those guys that would have never been in that spot. That because they trusted the doctors and just wanted to minimize their pain, didn't know what was about to hit them. Those are the guys I feel horrible for.
Yeah.
They say that pain medicine.
Yeah.
Right. Even Chevy Chase, the actor, you know, for years with his issues with his back and payment, it's like the hardest addiction or one of the hardest addictions to get off of.
Well, guys, it's essentially heroin. And that's why we have a heroin epidemic in this country, because people are on the painkillers for the longest time and then they get them taken away. And what do? You try to buy pills off the street or you just go get heroin.
Yeah.
Thank God. This is one of the reasons why, Ray, when I had my ACL replaced, they gave me the Oxycontin or whatever they gave me, you know, one of the other big ones, whatever. I don't remember exactly. I took one that morning when I woke up.
Yeah.
Right. And I never took another one. I just said, screw it. I'm going to deal with the pain. Yeah, so I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that's when fear is your friend. Trust me. That's when fear is your friend. That you need that gut feeling to go, this shit ain't good.
Well, also, ibuprofen, Advil's a hell of a drug. It does wonders. Just take some ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Hey, for those people out there that smoke marijuana and kill the pain a little bit, whatever it takes, you know?
I mean, I haven't had a non-steroidal like an Advil in over 20 years at this point.
Good.
Really? Good for you, man.
Yeah. No, I think I became allergic to them. That's why. I'm not even joking. One night I took an Advil, my throat started to close up.
Crazy.
That was the last time I took that.
That's crazy. That sounds like a manufactured defect. But I have heard people have severe kidney issues because they take so many Advil.
Of course. Let me just, Bruce,
you'll love this. I went to a doctor once for my elbow. This is 20 years ago. You know what the guy, and this guy was the top guy, New York Giants, Jets, whatever. You know, you always have this guy, this the doctor. He tells me, oh, this is what you do. Take 3 Advils 4 times a day for 2 weeks. I go, wait a minute, 3 Advils? So that's 12 Advils a day for 2 weeks? I walked out of that office, Bruce. I go, I'll never even talk to this guy again. Never. I would have been dead.
No. Yeah, how many Advil can you even take in a day? I think it says don't take more than 4 in a 24-hour period.
800 milligrams. Don't take more than 800 milligrams.
And I'm not joking. That's true.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. Well, listen, you know, getting back, because we're going to close out the show here, but I just got to tell you, even talking about Stephen Bonner gives me a very heavy heart.
Yeah.
You know, just started reflecting on a whole bunch of stuff, and not the way to end the year, but again, all my best condolences and best wishes to his family and loved ones. And we're ending a year 2022, which has been a great year in many ways, a difficult year in many ways, a COVID year in many ways, all the changes we're going through in the world and climate and everything. But the bottom line is, focus on the positive things that have happened to you this year. Focus on the positive happenings, thoughts, people in your lives, what motivates you, what makes you be the best you can be. And going into 2023, focus on that. End the year strong and positive. Take negativity out of your life. Take negative energy out of your life. And just try to start off as positive. We all have to deal with issues. We all have to deal with negativity. But let's try and be as positive as we can and as much of a respectful and a role model as we can to each other and to everybody around us to allow this world to get better. It's got to get better. It's got
to
get better.
You hope so. I mean, I hate to say it, but you kind of put the year in a nutshell. Like, since the pandemic hit, like, we have a lot of weird things to get through still to fix. And it's weird when you look back on the year. And, you know, I think we're doing better than we were this time last year. But I don't know. You watch the news and it just scares the shit out of you.
Oh, man.
Well, we've all got our little worlds that we live in, big worlds that we live in, whatever the case might be. Let's just be as much of a positive influence on ourselves and on the people around us as we can.
I'm just trying to hang out with Ray Longo more in 2020.
No, we'll do that, Ray. Going back east, I think we got some East Coast shows, maybe even a New York show coming up when I was looking at the schedule, which, by the way, is taking us out. I will not be back in the Octagon until January 14th in Vegas.
Wow.
And then I'll be in Rio the next weekend.
Wow.
And, of course, we have the Australia show coming up, London coming up. There's a lot of shows scheduled. It's, you know, it's going to be a bang up UFC
Bruce,
year again.
You got some life, buddy. You carved out some life for yourself. Hey. Look at that smile. Look at that smile, Bruce. Come on. Come on.
I always wanted to be, you know, to have that little James Bond-ish additive to my life. So, you know, I'll throw the tuxedo in a bag and go all over the world. Remember the TV show Have Gun Will Travel? Do you remember that at all?
Yep.
I call my TV show of life Have Tuxedo,
Have Tuxedo Will Travel.
Will travel.
Yeah. That's what I call my life. Have Focus Mitts Will Travel.
I just have a passport to travel.
What do you have? What is how microphone will travel? What do you say?
No, I just have a passport that lets me travel anywhere.
Jeez. You ruined our bit.
It's fine.
You know, Ray, you look great. TJ, you look great. I wish you nothing but the best of everything in 2023. We'll be back on this time together in 2023.
Hey, Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the show's all fixed up there. So
the
go
show's all
subscribe.
Fixed. We were off the audio. We're back on audio and have a big announcement for the show coming up, hopefully in January, of where the show will be available. I don't think we can make that right now, TJ.
Not yet.
But its time is building. Enough about its time. Ray, you're an amazing person.
We love you, Ray.
I'm so proud to call you my friend. I'm so proud to spend time with you. I love having you on the show. You're a quality human being, my friend. I wish you a very, 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 very happy.
And the exact sentiments back at you guys, too. You guys are the best. And that's why I say I carve out time. Bruce, he calls and says, Bruce Bruff. I just say, when? I don't even ask.
It's true. It's true.
When is
it? You never say no.
Well, then you call me and say Ray Longo, and I'll say when. I'm in your corner.
I'm always
in your corner, Ray. Always in your corner.
I watch Bruce handle himself in public, and trust me, very, very impressive. And when he's talking, and he's talking about being positive and making a difference, it's not just talk.
No.
He does it with his actions. I watched him control a whole restaurant, make people happy. And that, to me, that's what it's all about.
You know what? It's not about the paycheck, Ray. It's about the quality of life.
Wait, come here, Nazim. Hold on.
I'll cash that paycheck. But it's about the quality of life.
Let me introduce you to one more guy over here.
All right, let's have it.
Hey, let's go. This is Nazim Sadikov.
Bruce Buffer. Big
Nazim, how are you?
Bruce, what can you do for this guy? You already made somebody stay happy. Nazim Sadikov, and he's fighting February 16th in Vegas.
Sadikov?
Sadikov.
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 Sadikov. Yep, there you go.
Let's hear it.
And now, fighting out of the blue corner, Nazim Sadikov.
Man,
it just makes me want to be a fighter now.
Yeah, that's it, man. Holy crap, I got goosebumps, Bruce. I'm going out and hitting the bag.
Hey, listen, wait till I get in the Octagon in full tuxedo garb. It'll be a lot more.
Yeah.
I promise you, Nazim, it'll be a lot more.
Thank you. Thank you. See you soon.
All right, guys, listen. I love you guys. You're the best. I'm out of here.
See you, Ray.
Bye, Ray. Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you guys.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
How good is that, man? Come on.
There you go. TJ, making dreams come true, Buff.
You know what? I love being in my own little world and my own little efforts and my own little gestures. If I can make people's dreams come true, they're making my dreams come true by allowing me to do that. So thank you to the two gentlemen on the show. And thank you for your saying those words.
And if you and want yours, by the way, you're sitting at home going, I want mine, cameo.com.
Well, if anybody wants their championship introductions, time to show a little bit. Just go to, I've done a ton, a lot of Christmas gifts, everything, a lot of cameos.
It's a great gift, Buff.
Oh, is it, yes. And the thank you notes and the way making people happy. And or you just go to brucebuffer.com. There's a special offer right there for audio and video. But I haven't changed the prices in a long time. I'm not going to. I want to make sure everybody's happy. And I want to still continue to donate partial proceeds to animal children and military charities.
That's huge.
So there you go.
There you go. Living the life that you talk about. You know, you don't just talk the talk. You walk the walk.
Practice what you preach, TJ. Practice what you preach. TJ, I want to thank you for your friendship. I want to thank you for your quality.
How long has it been now?
15 years, whatever.
Something like that.
Take.
Yeah.
But the Crazy. Quality of your friendship, the quality of your work as a producer on the show, where the show will go from here, and being the fine co-host, which I wouldn't want to do the show without you, TJ. And I appreciate your friendship and send my love to you and your family. And I wish you all the sincere best in the new year.
You're truly one of my best friends, Bruce. I live in my bubble too, and I don't talk to too many people other than those that I work with. And you're one of the few people that I have real conversations with on and off the air.
Thank you so much, TJ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as the saying goes, I appreciate you. And I'm going to look forward to working through 2023 with you and having a lot of great experiences, a lot of great shows.
Big things.
A lot of happiness surrounding us.
Big things coming up.
Well, the best of health, the best of prosperity, and the best of happiness. And go for it. Just go for it. Be the best you can be. Like we tell everybody in the show, be the best you can be. Go ahead and sign off, TJ.
Go check out Extra Rounds this week. I believe Saturday we're going to do a year-end show. Coming up where we do all the awards from promotions that are on UFC Fight Pass. We got Fighter of the Year, Submission of the Year, Knockout of the Year. So check that out. That will be Saturday on Facebook and YouTube.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, TJ, Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And I wish all our listeners all around the world a very Happy New Year and all the best of everything. And as I always say, got to end the show with our usual thing. It's all positive. Set your goals for 2023. Write them down. So when it comes time to step on that path to success, mentally, physically, everything that goes with it, that you be the best you can be, because then you're winning. Let's have a winning year in 2023.
It's time to win. It's time to win.
It's time to win. It's time to win in 2023. I can't say it any better than that. You all know where I'm trying to drive at. Thank you. Love you all. Wish you all the best. Appreciate everybody that listens to our show. And we'll be back with a lot of fine shows in 2023. Okay? Happy New Year, everybody. Buffer out, but I'm not out.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, goal,
or attending one live,
goal,
you can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.